and a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning once again on Rumble and X. Thanks for spending some time with us here. Don't forget, you can check out the podcast 24/7 wherever you get your shows. Just search for the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. Tap the subscribe or follow button and take the show with you on demand on your own time. Well, as I put in my post on X this morning with the start of the show, this is day five of a major internet outage in portions of northern New Hanover County in and around the Gordon Road area where construction continues. And I really haven't talked, if you follow me on X, you've seen me bashing AT&T over the last couple of days due to this outage. But, you know, this kind of harpens in perfectly with the back and forth I had last week on X with an individual, some left-wing jackass here in North Carolina, who was talking about Elon Musk, talking about Starlink, and talking about X, and of course saying that it was awful, terrible service, and nobody should have it. And you know, this is a very interesting situation and time that we're living in our country right now. You know, you've got a free market company. You've got a true capitalist and somebody like Elon Musk, who has taken so many different ventures. We could look at Tesla with the electric vehicle market. You can look at the unbelievable reintroduction to the United States, essentially space program, which has been dormant for a large part over many decades now with NASA. And a guy like Elon Musk, who has taken so many different entities, entities and things that have been frozen for a long period of time, right? You had the space program, which was essentially halted, and revitalized that. The electric vehicle market, which, yes, existed, but wasn't anywhere near what it was prior to Tesla entering the market, and the wireless internet business. There's been satellite internet that has existed for probably close to 20 years. You've heard of the companies before, HughesNet, Exceed, a couple of providers like that. Those companies use geostationary satellites, which are some 22,000 plus miles up in space, the same satellites that provide service from DirecTV or Dish Network, use geostationary satellites to provide internet to individuals that are in rural areas where there is no other alternative. There is no cable company. There is no phone company that provides internet. And so Elon Musk had this idea, well, let's put up a bunch of small satellites that orbit, and we'll create a system that tracks those satellites and will give you a dish that you can use and put out to take advantage of these lower orbit satellites. What's the advantage of that? Well, from a technical standpoint, because these satellites are low orbit and are moving by at hundreds of miles an hour, the speeds are far superior, because the signal doesn't have to travel 22,000 miles to a geostationary satellite. And even with that, he, of course, is now the devil. There's been a lot of talk. I've been spending a lot of time, unfortunately, on Reddit over the last couple of days talking with folks about this internet issue in the northern half of the county. And yesterday afternoon, there was a post from a guy on Reddit. And I want to just kind of read through it. Unfortunately, the comments have been deleted now. I screwed the pooch and didn't screenshot them before they were deleted. But this was a post on Reddit yesterday. Hey, everyone. I love the area and visit frequently. I've had a terrible time with AT&T for internet service, and I'm considering moving to Starlink for better coverage, as fiber isn't yet available. I live 20 to 30 minutes outside of Wilmington. Does Starlink work pretty well in that area? That's a fair question to ask. That is a legitimate question that is being asked. Hey, I don't have any other alternatives. I don't have any other services. The first two comments on this post, which, again, I'm kicking myself for not screenshotting, were two people saying, well, he's a Nazi, so don't buy his service. The left is completely off their freaking rocker. These people are so deranged, it is beyond the pale of belief. Their vehement hatred for Elon Musk, a guy that they loved like 8 to 12 months ago, was the darling of the left. You've heard me say this before. The darling of the left, Elon Musk, with his electric vehicles in Tesla that is going to save the environment from climate change. It's going to stop us from burning into smithereens due to climate change caused by those damn fossil fuel companies, those damn oil companies. Darling of the left, a year ago, is now in two different posts, just yesterday, by two different idiots on the Wilmington Reddit, was called a Nazi. This guy wasn't asking for these individuals' political opinions, and this is where the left is really screwing up. This guy wasn't asking for a political opinion. This guy was not looking for some morons to opine on their thoughts on Elon Musk. He was saying, I'm in need of a service. Elon Musk's company, SpaceX, a subsidiary of that Starlink, offers said service. Has anybody used it? But no, the left can't handle that. The left, one guy even went to the point of saying, and I don't know if it was a guy or girl, presumably some idiot leftist, even went to the point of saying, well, you know, supporting companies like this is exactly why Elon Musk and Donald Trump are in this situation. Shaming this individual for just asking the question, does the service work? So I decided to hop in and I said, so since no one will answer your question without injecting their stupid political opinions, and I went through my experience with it over the last couple of days. I've been fortunate, a very good friend of mine, friend of the show, had a Starlink mini unit that he has available for just situations like this, for standby and on backup, loaned me his unit over the last couple of days, and I've been able to stream the show yesterday and today thanks to Starlink. And so this guy's just looking for a simple recommendation. Does this service work? And the left is so freaking deranged right now that they can't take it. They're unwilling to even engage in conversation. The first, both two comments, two different people immediately calling him a Nazi. It's insane. And it's the reason that the left is losing these battles publicly. I mean, I saw another post because I've been spending a lot of time on Reddit, which is just the biggest progressive leftist disaster on the internet. What was once a phenomenal website that I used to spend hours a day using is now useless. It has been completely hijacked and taken over by the left. In the Raleigh subreddit, they were talking about how it was five weeks straight of them protesting in front of the Tesla dealership in Raleigh. These people have nothing better going on in their lives. For 5 weeks, they're standing the line by standing in front of a Tesla dealership holding signs. You guys are completely off base on this. Now, I don't have any issue with people protesting. I think it's you're right if you want to stand on the side of the road like a moron and protest Elon Musk and Tesla. That's fine. I don't have a moral issue with that. But turning this into a political discussion, we discuss and analyze politics here on the Nick Craig Show. This is a very stupid move from the left. The things that Elon Musk's produced, the things that he produces and provides, all work very effectively. You just had two astronauts rescued last week who were stranded in space for 9 months via Boeing in their disaster of a space program. They were rescued because of Elon Musk's Starlink or SpaceX company. NASA didn't rescue them. Boeing didn't rescue them. SpaceX rescued them. His electric vehicles, I don't have one. I wouldn't buy one at this point. It doesn't really fit my driving patterns and styles. I do a lot of trips, travel up to Raleigh for work pretty frequently. Just not interested in an electric vehicle. But from everybody that I've talked to that has owned an EV, especially a Tesla, they rant and rave about how great they are. They talk about how great the charging network is. They talk about how great the technology that's featured in the car is. And for individuals that live in rural areas of the state of North Carolina and the rest of the country, or for individuals that are looking for a backup when your main internet provider decides that they can't provide internet service to you, which is what I've been dealing with for now 5 days straight at the hands of AT&T, it's great to have an alternative. It's great when the free market offers an alternative. That's what we want. That's the society. That's the free market system that we love. I've got another backup internet device coming today from Verizon because I need some redundancy here for the Carolina Journal show I do at 5 a.m. and for the podcast. The left, I think, is making a grave mistake with this because the people that have actually used his products, the people that have actually had the benefit of being able to purchase one of his cars or use his internet service, or for the individuals, I'm sure the two that were stranded in the space station for the last 9 months are very grateful for Elon Musk and what he's done. And let's be clear, while Elon Musk is the mastermind behind a lot of this, he's not the one doing the day-to-day operations. He has surrounded himself with some of the smartest, most intellectual, gifted people in our country. Elon Musk is not building rockets. Elon Musk is not building cars. He's not building internet satellites. You know what he's really great at doing? Finding the best damn people in the room, putting them to task, and what's the end result? A phenomenal product, a phenomenal service. That, if we're talking about anything else, that's his gift. Now, yes, he's a pioneer, he's a visionary. But pioneers and visionaries are only good as the individuals that can actually make it happen. And what he has done with his companies, the successes that he has had, are remarkable. But because the left walks around with this vehement hatred for somebody like Elon Musk, they are losing this battle. I can guarantee you that there are moderate, regular, everyday people that have enjoyed products made by Musk, whether it's a car, or internet service, whatever. They have enjoyed using that product or service. They see this ridiculous hand-wringing that's going on from the left over Elon Musk, and it is pushing them to the right. Because they use the service, they drive the car, and they go, what the hell are these people talking about? What are you guys carrying on about? Why are you standing in front of a Tesla dealership for 5 days straight protesting Elon Musk? What the hell is wrong with you people? And I think that's the legitimate one. That's the legitimate question that people are asking themselves. What is wrong with you people? I mean, this is 19 hours ago. Let me make sure the audio doesn't come up on this. This is 19 hours ago at the Tesla dealership in Raleigh. You've got all of these morons standing in front of the Tesla dealership holding up Ukrainian flags. And then the camera operator holds up his middle finger at the end. Oh, so brave. So brave. I'm shaking in my boots this morning because some unemployed moron is standing on Glenwood Avenue in Raleigh flipping off the Tesla dealership. I mean, what do these people think is going to happen here? What do these guys think that they're accomplishing by this? You're not being the resistance. You're not resisting anything. You guys are proving the point that the left has completely spun out of control. That the left is so divorced from reality that they cannot look at anything that happens without through their lens of hyper-partisan politics. They just can't. They're incapable of it. And it's been proven time and time again, and it's really showing up over the last couple of weeks where you've got people that are committing crimes against regular everyday citizens who have done nothing wrong but purchased a product. Oh, by the way, a product that the left once loved, right? I can't understate this. People that purchased Teslas in years past, many of them are the same individuals that are now protesting in front of the car dealerships. They purchased these cars because of the climate. They purchased these cars because we got to save the planet. We have to save Mother Earth from greenhouse gas emissions. Now, of course, we'll ignore the fact that you have to charge your electric vehicle through the electrical grid, which is still predominantly fueled by things like coal and natural gas. But we'll ignore that part because it's very complicated for the left. They're not an incredibly smart group of individuals. So now you've got people who, for whatever reason, it fits their driving style. They have the money to do so. They think the technology's cool. They're not political. They go out and purchase a car, all for some deranged leftist jackass to come and destroy it, key the car, smash in the windshield, deface their private property. What's the game plan here? Become a domestic terrorist group? What's the plan here? We're going to now deface individuals' private property because we disagree with the guy that made it? That's the political approach here from the left? That's the way that they think they're going to win over favor with the American voting public? Destroying people's private property? They have completely lost control of the narrative. And really, more than anything else, this proves and shows that the Democrat Party as a whole, they have lost control of their underlings. They have lost control of the people that they have fear-mongered out of control. And that's what this is. The left uses these scary words, these scary phrases to demagogue people on the right, like Elon Musk, who is not a conservative, I'll note once again. Is not a staunch conservative, I would argue is not even a Republican. They throw all of these attacks at him. They gin up all of this nonsense about him. And then what happens? The underlings of the Democrat Party, these mentally ill, distraught, depressed, miserable individuals, go out and say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go destroy somebody's car. I'm going to go key somebody's car in a parking lot because the left told me to. That's what they believe their action call is from the Democrat Party. And unfortunately, you can't put this situation away. Right, you're not going to get the genie back in the bottle here. The damage is already done. The underlings have gotten their message. They are now coalesced into these groups that are standing in front of car dealerships outside of Raleigh every day as a proud moment of whatever the hell they think they're doing. And now they're out of control. The left no longer has control over it. This is politically disastrous for the Democrat Party. Everyday normal people that are just trying to live their freaking lives see these clowns standing on the side of the road, see these reports online of people's private property being destroyed for no reason, no fault of their own, nothing that these individuals did wrong besides purchase a car, and the left is completely losing it. So I hope and pray that these individuals continue in their actions. Now, it sucks that, and not necessarily the defacing of property, of course. I think that's despicable. But I hope the left continues down this path. I hope we continue hearing this conversation about how Elon Musk is a Nazi. I'm sure the guy that posted, going back to the guy that posted on the Wilmington subreddit yesterday about needing some internet service and was curious if anybody used Starlink, I'm sure he read through those posts and was like, man, these people suck. These leftists are terrible people. I'm just asking for some advice. I have a problem. I need a solution to it. And I can't even get an answer. Nobody answered his question except for me. Literally nobody. Everybody was just going on and on about how awful Elon Musk is. This guy's just looking for a freaking answer. And the left can't give it to him. Because these people are absolutely deranged. They are so caught up in their political ideology. They are so caught up in the messaging from the far left wing of the party that they can't see the trees through the forest. They are completely lost individuals. And it's only going to benefit the right. Nobody is in support, except for the far, far fringe of the radical left. Nobody is in favor of defacing people's private property because you disagree with the guy that made the car. You used to love him, but now you disagree with him. Nobody is in favor of that except for fringes of the radical left. And just like everything else that we've seen over the last couple of years, all of these movements, all of what goes on here from the left pushes more and more individuals to the right. Now, it doesn't actually push them to the right, but it slides the Overton window to such a point that people that are in the center are now deemed by the left as radical right-wing extremists. That's how the Overton window works. This is incredibly short-sighted and incredibly stupid in my estimation of the Democrat Party, but hey, keep at it, guys. Congratulations. Very brave, very strong. I appreciate you standing in front of the Raleigh Tesla place on Glenwood Avenue for 5 weeks, holding up your Ukrainian flag. You're really showing it to the man there and definitely proving that you are the party with the ideas, the policies, and the platforms to govern America going forward. So hat tip to you. Congratulations and continue on your path. I'm sure it will continue to lead to your political demise. So yesterday morning, we were talking about what was set to be a big day in Washington, D.C., oral arguments being heard in a plethora, but specifically the big case yesterday was two weekends ago, the situation with a U.S. district court judge ruling that the Trump administration did not have the authority to deport illegal immigrants. That was a ruling from a judge. It happened last week, not this past weekend, the weekend before that. Flights were already in the air. It's been a big issue that has been brewing politically. So oral arguments took place yesterday in Washington, D.C., and how did that play out for the Trump administration? What was some of the things that were said by the appeals court in the District of Columbia? Well, let's listen into a district judge, Patricia Millett, and see what she had to say. She was one of the three judges, the only Democrat on this three-judge panel. Take a listen to this.
Your Honor, I think this court's decision in IM versus CBP is instructive on this.
Am I wrong about anything I just said factually?
Your Honor, I think it's incorrect that they couldn't have gone into court as the five individual plaintiffs.
No, but the point here was that there were plane loads of people. I mean, it's a class action. There were plane loads of people. There were no procedures in place to notify people. Nazis got better treatment under the Alien Enemy Act than has happened here, where the proclamation required the promulgation of regulations, and they had hearing boards before people were removed. And yet here, there's nothing in there about hearing boards, there's no regulations, and nothing was adopted by the agency officials that were administering this. People weren't given notice, they weren't told where they were going, and they were given... Those people on those planes on that Saturday had no opportunity to file habeas or any type of action to challenge the removal under the AEA. And like you've agreed that two of those airplanes, people were removed under the AEA. Is that...
Wow, so there you go. More Nazi talk from the left. They equate everything that anybody does that they disagree with as just the Nazis, right? They've been doing this for like a decade now, and it's just not working. Nazis got better treatment under the Alien Enemy Act than what happened here. Does this not just prove the point of these judges? This is a U.S. appeals court judge in the D.C. district making this claim in a courtroom. And I'm supposed to believe that we have a fair and unbiased and nonpartisan judicial system? I'm supposed to believe that judges are acting in an above board manner where they're not acting as hyperpartisans. They're not just puppeting Democrat talking points. No, that's exactly what she's doing. This is the same kind of crap that you see on MSNBC being parroted by an appeals court judge in Washington, D.C. But I'm supposed to believe that the judicial system is above board. That there's no issue with these partisan judges. That we just have to trust the system, man. Just trust the system. Go through the appeals process. Like Justice John Roberts said, the Chief Justice, just go through the appeals system. To why? So this can be the conversation from judges? Now, fortunately, Tom Homan, who is phenomenal in what he does, he was asked by a reporter yesterday about this ridiculously stupid claim from this judge in D.C. Here is the border czar and Tom Homan's response to that.
Can I ask you about what the federal appeals judge is saying there? They said, noting that alleged Nazis were given better treatment during World War II than the Trump administration treated Venezuela.
Well, that's, first of all, it's ridiculous. It's just another example of a radical judge saying something that's just disgusting, to compare anything to the Nazis, the Holocaust. We follow the law. Alien Enemies Act is clear. A law that was passed by Congress, signed by a president, we're following, unlike last administration, we're actually following the law. What we did on those planes, removed terrorists. MS-13 and TDA were our designated terrorist organization. We removed terrorists. To compare that any way whatsoever with Nazis, it's disgusting at every level.
It's disgusting at every level, and I can't agree any stronger with Tom Homan on that. This is exactly the narrative. This is what the left thinks is going to be successful for them long term. I just can't wrap my head around it. It's incredibly short-sighted. Like you're just, everything now that is done by the right is just equated to Nazis. That's at everything. At literally everything. Buying a freaking car. Using an internet service. You can't have an open discussion on the internet about what you'd like to do for internet without some jackass from the left coming in and going, oh, you're a Nazi. And they think this is going to be politically beneficial for them? This judge thinks that it's a good idea to say that in a court of law? This is exactly proving the administration's point that these judges need to be brought in line. They're not looking at this from a lens of whether it's constitutional. They're not looking at it through a lens of, is this legal or is this not? They are allowing their own hyper-partisan beliefs to drip into every single decision that they make. And so when I'm hearing the rumblings and the groundwork is kind of being laid for this administration to just start ignoring these hack partisan judges, when with comments like that, I'm liable to shrug my shoulders and say, you know what? It's hard to argue against that. I don't want the president. I don't want any administration to defy the courts. But what do you do when the judicial system acts in this manner? When a judge is making those kind of ridiculous statements in a court of law, what do? You're not getting a fair trial. Your arguments are not being heard. Again, not whether you like them or not. This is not the argument. The discussion is not, should these individuals be deported or not? That is a policy discussion. The discussion at hand is through the Enemy Aliens Act from the late 1790s. Does the administration, does the president have the authority to do so? A clear reading of that law says very clearly that yes, the president has this sole authority. That's not my political belief. That's not my, I wish this was going to happen or wish that was going to happen. This has everything to do with clear reading of the law. And so that's what judges need to be discussing. That's what the discussion needs to be in the appeals court and in all of the court systems as this rolls out. Is this legal or is this not? But that's not happening. We're now trying to equate what an administration is doing under law passed by Congress, signed by a president back in the 1700s. We're now equating that to treatments of Nazis. Do you not see the disconnect there? Do you not see the issue with that? We're not having a policy discussion. We're having a legality discussion. That's what courts do. Courts do not opine on whether policy is good or not. Courts do not opine on whether something is favored by the American people or not favored by the American people. They rule on, did somebody follow the law? Did the Trump administration act in a lawful manner? But the left is unwilling to do that. The left, I would argue, is incapable currently of doing that. They are so wrapped up in their own political bias, so wrapped up in the messaging and the narrative from the left that they are incapable of, as I was mentioning, they are incapable of looking at anything, without throwing in and giving their two cents on what's going on. They're just incapable of doing it. And I wish I was wrong. I wish that this wasn't the situation, but I'm just seeing example after example after example of this. You can't ask a question, you can't buy a car, you can't use an internet service, you can't do any of that without the left having to shove their political opinions and their thoughts right down your throat. That's not what you were asking for. You are not looking to have a debate over whether Elon Musk is a good guy or not. You're looking to figure out if you can get freaking internet service. I mean, that's the discussion. But the left's not capable of it. They're just not. And this U.S. appeals court judge proved the same thing yesterday. To the point that the administration is making, these judges are acting out of control in a non-legal manner. Plain and simple. So Oral arguments took place back and forth, two Republicans, one Democrat on the three-judge panel in the U.S. Appeals Court. This is taking place in the District of Columbia. We'll see when we'll likely get a ruling from them, hopefully sooner rather than later. We'll keep a close eye on it right here on the Nick Craig Show. Well, I want to remind you that you can get daily show notes and more by supporting the show on Patreon over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. $5-$10 a month if you believe that you are getting some value out of the program. One of the additional perks coming up this week is our monthly Zoom hangout, where we'll be chatting politics, culture, and the news of the day. A lot of great conversation has taken place in these hangouts. This is our third one. It's coming up this Thursday, March the 27th, 7 p.m. If you are interested in joining that, if you're already a member of the Patreon, check your emails or log in and you'll see the link. If you are not, you've got a couple more days to subscribe and get access to that. That's coming up again this Thursday night, 7 p.m., patreon.com/Nick Craig. Look forward to chatting with everyone. It's been a great conversations through the last two that we've done, and look forward to the one coming up Thursday night. Well, some big issues within the administration, apparently adding a journalist to a group chat talking about war plans. This is a rather brutal story for the current White House and members within the administration. We'll have those details coming up here in just a few minutes as the Nick Craig Show continues on a Tuesday morning, streaming live on Rumble and X and available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. And welcome back to the Nick Craig Show. Tuesday morning. Thanks for spending some time with us live, 7 o'clock on Rumble and X, 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. Taking a look at some other news this morning, a big issue unfolding at the administration level, as apparently the White House confirmed to the Daily Caller yesterday that President Trump's national security team accidentally leaked war plans to the Atlantic magazine in a group chat. This is a very, very interesting story and something that is a huge misstep from the administration. The Atlantic editor-in-chief, Jeffrey Goldberg, published a piece yesterday detailing how he had accidentally been included in a group chat with cabinet officials on Signal, which is a private messaging and secure messaging encrypted messaging platform that is used by a lot of folks. Officials, the editor-in-chief identified and viewed in the chat were Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, State Secretary Marco Rubio, National Security Advisor Mike Waltz, Deputy White House Chief of Staff Stephen Miller, Chief of Staff Susie Wilds, National Intelligence Director Tulsi Gabbard, and Vice President J.D. Vance. They were all in a chat titled Houthi PC Small Group, and the cabinet officials discussed bombing the Houthis, and Hegseth shared the military plans carried out its attack, according to Goldberg, who said that he had been accidentally included in the chat. Now, you've read and probably heard a lot about this over the last day or so, and the screenshots, I mean, seem to be as authentic as can possibly be. And the question rising this morning is, how does something like this happen? I mean, you've got individuals, which you're using Signal, which is an encrypted messaging platform, is a good idea. There's no issue in using Signal. But when you've got individuals that when you're creating a group chat, and you don't know who is in there, well, that brings forth a couple of questions. First of all, how did this person get in there? Was this a mole within the administration that added this individual from the Atlantic? I mean, that's my first guess. I can't imagine that somebody like J.D. Vance or Pete Hegseth or whoever was creating this and added this individual. I can only presume that this was done by somebody in the administration that had, or somebody in the government, I should say, I wouldn't argue the administration, somebody in the government that had access to this chat. Now, of course, the individuals chatting are the higher up individuals like J.D. Vance, like Pete Hegseth, going back and forth. But I'm sure there were dozens of other people in that chat. Did they add the editor in chief over at the Atlantic magazine to leak this story? The questions remain unknown this morning. Now, Pete Hegseth says it didn't happen, which, you know, here's the thing. I am an equal opportunity offender. But don't tell me that this didn't happen when there are pictures, when there are screenshots of individuals having this discussion in a chat room. I mean, don't blow smoke up my ass and say it didn't happen. That to me is incredibly offensive. This person should not have been included in the chat. Somebody either made a mistake or did it willingly, but don't say it didn't happen. That really, really pisses me off as somebody that is, you know, of course, in favor of what the administration is doing, a supporter of individuals like Pete Hegseth, like J.D. Vance, like President Trump. Don't lie to me. There was a mistake made. It was a stupid mistake if it was one, or somebody purposefully added this individual into this secure chat for them to leak this information. But don't tell me that this wasn't happening. This was Pete Hegseth yesterday. You just got to admit when things go wrong. It's okay. Things happen. We don't like it. Not everything is perfect. We're all flawed as individuals. Mistakes are sometimes made. Dishonest individuals sometimes act in ways that is not appropriate. But don't tell me it didn't happen. Here's Pete Hegseth yesterday in Hawaii being asked about this very interesting dilemma.
Can you share how your information about war plans against the Houthis in Yemen was shared with a journalist in The Atlantic? And were those details classified?
So you're talking about a deceitful and highly discredited so-called journalist who's made a profession of peddling hoaxes time and time again, to include the hoaxes of Russia, 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 or the fine people on both sides hoax, or suckers and losers hoax. So this is a guy that peddles in garbage. This is what he does. I would love to comment on the Houthi campaign because of the skill and courage of our troops. I've monitored it very closely from the beginning. And you see, we've been managing 4 years of deferred maintenance under the Trump administration. Our troops, our sailors were getting shot at as targets. Our ships couldn't sail through. And when they did shoot back, it was purely defensively or at shacks in Yemen. President Trump said, no more. We will reestablish deterrence. We will open freedom of navigation. And we will ultimately decimate the Houthis, which is exactly what we're doing as we speak from the beginning, overwhelmingly.
Why were those details shared on Signal, and how did you learn that a journalist was privy to the targets, the types of weapons used?
I've heard I was characterized. Nobody was texting war plans, and that's all I have to say about that. Right, thank you.
All right, so nobody was texting war plans. So now we're getting into the nitty gritty of whether there were war plans in there or not. It was either somebody screwed up or somebody added this person deceitfully. Plain and simple. I don't like this idea of blowing smoke up people's asses and acting like it didn't happen. I mean, I'm going to read the first sentence again from the Daily Caller article, who is not a left-wing news outlet by any means. The White House confirmed to the Daily Caller on Monday that President Trump's national security team accidentally leaked war plans to the Atlantic Group in a group chat, the Atlantic magazine in a group chat. And that's what happened. I think there is... Now, I agree that The Atlantic is a rag outlet. The editor-in-chief over there is a far-left progressive. None of that is up for dispute, and that's not what the discussion is. The discussion is, why was this person in the chat? Hegseth's answer I don't think is sufficient. I don't like it. I'm a big fan of Pete Hegseth. I think what he's done has been phenomenal in regards to the U.S. military. His ideas and what he's bringing forward is phenomenal. What he's doing is great. The standards that he is setting, the tone that he is setting for our U.S. military, spot on. I agree with all of that. But when the White House confirms it happened, nobody is arguing that the screenshots are doctored or fake or made up. Now, the argument is war plans were being texted. I read through it. It didn't seem like it was necessarily war plans. But just own it. Just own it and say, yeah, we're going to do an investigation to figure out how this person was added to this chat. We're going to figure out if somebody did this without our knowledge. We're going to figure out if we have somebody working under us in our administration that is acting to purposefully leak what we're doing, purposefully leak to the media what is happening. That wouldn't be something new for the Trump administration. We saw through his entire first term, individuals left over from the Obama White House that were constantly leaking information to the media, to the press. Phone calls and text message exchanges and meetings, all of that stuff was out in the public constantly. I've never seen anything like it, where you had an administration that had so many leaks. And so the answer should have been, we were having a discussion and we're going to conduct an investigation to figure out how this person was added in there. Now, of course, the left is going to take this, and there were some comments from Chuck Schumer yesterday about how, you know, somebody might have to lose their job over this. Of course, the left's going to turn it into that. I don't think it rises to that level. Own it, figure out how it happened, why it happened, and make sure it doesn't happen again. Plain and simple. I mean, that's really all that needs to be said. The deflection there from Pete Hegseth is not going to fly with me. I'm an equal opportunity offender with this. When I see something like this happen publicly, don't lie to me. Don't tell me it didn't happen. Don't try to deflect. Just tell me the truth. I mean, there's this, I think the American people, more than anything else, when it comes to government, they just want the truth. They're so sick of the media spin. They're so sick of the constant deception on everything. You watch something on Fox and it says one thing. You watch it on the MSNBC. It's like two completely different stories. People just want the truth. People just want to know what's happening. They don't need to be gaslit. They don't need to be misled. They don't want any of that. They just want to know what's happening. So, love Pete Hegseth. Love what he's doing. But this is just, this answer just completely fell short for me. This is a really, really stupid situation. Take the L, take the media criticism, take the political blowback, of which there will be a little bit of, and just go move on. Stupid. Really, really stupid from Pete Hegseth. I have no other way to put it. Again, I like the guy. Full support of what he's doing. But really, really boneheaded response there. So hopefully the administration can clean this up and figure this out, because this is, to me, not sufficient. As somebody that is 100% in support of this administration, this ain't it. This misses the mark completely. So I'm sure there will be more on this in the coming days. We'll keep an eye on it right here on the Nick Craig Show. All right, taking a look at some statewide news this morning. Have you heard of the Division of Accountability, Value, and Efficiency? DAVE, D-A-V-E. Well, it is some new legislation that is working its way through the North Carolina General Assembly in the footsteps of the Department of Government Efficiency, of course, out of Washington, D.C. Senate Republicans have introduced the DAVE Act, which would create the Division of Accountability, Value, and Efficiency within the State Auditor's Office. It's led by Senate Leader Phil Berger, and it requires each state agency across the state to report to DAVE, this is not DAVE himself, but DAVE, the agency, on how the various state agencies spend taxpayer funds. And it also instructs Dave Bolick's office, the state auditor's office, to put together a report by the end of the year on which state agencies and jobs can be cut. Senate Leader Phil Berger said in a press release that it's time to take a look and make sure state government is working effectively and efficiently. He said in a press release, quote, "We want our state agencies to work as hard as the citizens that fund them. Taking a comprehensive look at state agency spending and staffing to determine if they're working efficiently and effectively is the right thing to do. If they won't hold themselves accountable, then the General Assembly will." One of the other sponsors of the legislation, Senator Steve Jarvis, a Republican out of Davidson County, said that it's important for taxpayers to know how their money is being spent. He said, quote, we want North Carolinians to know that their tax dollars are being spent wisely, and this audit will shed much needed light on agency operations. It is imperative that we take a critical look at how those tax dollars are being used so we can root out any waste and get rid of any bureaucratic bloat. Now, over at Carolina Journal, they conducted a poll in March that asked a pretty concise and simple question. Should the state government create a Department of Government Efficiency? Right? This is, of course, all stemming out of Washington, D.C. And the question, a very simple one. Should the state government create a Department of Government Efficiency? This is out of the March Carolina Journal poll. 51.9% of people said yes. 40.6 said no, and you had about 7.5% that were undecided or unsure as to what would go on here. But digging into the numbers a little bit deeper, when you had 34.5% of people that said they should definitely create an NC version of DOGE. Now, that's the highest number overall. 34.5% definitely. Now, 31.8 said definitely not, but this is, to me, an overwhelming majority. 52% of people saying that a Department of Government Efficiency needs to be created. And you know, this kind of marries well with what I was just talking about. People want the truth. People want to know what's going on. And when you look at what's going on with DOGE at the federal level, when you look at what's going on with the Department of Government Efficiency, the things that they are doing, the incredible successes that they have had, well, it makes sense that people would want something like that in North Carolina. Now, looking at the Carolina Journal poll, there's a couple of interesting things to note in that poll, which I didn't get into a whole lot here on the show. Yeah, looking at a couple of other of the questions in the poll here, there was a question asked about Elon Musk's favorability. Now, his favorability was actually underwater. 52.3% said that they were unfavorable of Elon Musk, with only 44.6% saying they favored him. And that number kind of transcend to the National Department of Government Efficiency or the federal, with 49.5% saying that it was unfavorable, while 45.5% said it was favorable. Are you talking about a 4-point swing there? So people, and this is probably due to the cult of personality that Elon Musk is. I mean, that if we're really boiling down these numbers, people are equating DOGE with Elon Musk, which makes sense. It's kind of his idea. A lot of this stuff spawned from him. Makes a lot of sense that he is the poster child of the Department of Government Efficiency, right? That's not a surprise. But I think due to a lot of the media coverage, a lot of what we've talked about on the show this morning, it makes sense that if that's all that you're hearing, you don't have a favorable opinion of Elon. And North Carolinians don't. They don't have a favorable opinion of Elon, and they don't have a favorable opinion of DOGE at the federal level. Yet in the same vein, these same individuals want a North Carolina Department of Government Efficiency. And this piece of legislation, Senate Bill 474, would provide that. As I read and noted, it would instruct the state auditors or all of the state agencies to provide a report to the state auditor's office. For the state auditor to determine what jobs and what whole agencies need to be cut or drastically reduced in their size. You hate that you're at this position. Nobody wants to lose their job. Nobody. I went through that earlier this year or middle part of last year, the summer. It sucks. But we are in a position right now at a federal and state level and local level where there is too much bloat, there is too much bureaucracy within government. Every single time government has any sort of want, not a need, but a want, they get it. And there's a concise difference between a want and a need. Government has everything that they need, and they also seemingly have everything that they want, and that's a problem. Because the want is what has created the bureaucracy, the bloat, and the waste. I want plenty of things. You want plenty of things. But you don't get all of your wants. Now, hopefully you've got your needs met. You've got a roof over your head, food on the table. Your electric bill is paid. Your water bill is paid. Those are your needs. But you don't get all of your wants. That's just not how life works. Sorry, but that's just the reality of it. And it should be the exact same way within government. The needs, absolutely. You need to provide, you know, salaries to SHP, State Highway Patrol, that's obviously a need. No argument there. But you probably want a bunch of extra positions, not for law enforcement, but throughout the rest of government. You want. That's all government does, is want more. It's why taxes really never go down. It's why, you know, major budget discussions are happening here in New Hanover County, the city of Wilmington, as we speak this morning. Major discussions happening up in Raleigh as well. Now, fortunately, the Republican-led General Assembly has done a very good job over the last decade of getting government in control. They've done a very good job at reducing waste within government, getting government in line, and the end result of that has been that they've, in fact, been able to lower taxes, which has been freaking phenomenal. It's great. But how much waste exists within state government right now? How many redundant positions exist within state government through all of the agencies that exist? How many people are doing the job of what one person does in private business? Is it 3-5 people doing the job of what some one person does in private business? That's what we're talking about. When I think of government efficiency and effectiveness, that is one of the top things that jumps to my mind. How many redundant positions do you have? And again, you want those redundant positions, but do you need those redundant positions? In most cases, not every case, but in most cases, I think that answer is very clearly no. You don't need all of those positions. You just want them. And so this piece of legislation would give the state auditor some insight as to what's going on within all of these agencies. And this seemingly is not just a Republican-led issue. Now, I'm sure Democrats aren't going to vote for this in the Senate, but I'll take you back a couple of weeks to Josh Stein, Democrat Governor Josh Stein's State of the State address. Take a listen to what he had to say about something equivalent to DOGE.
Of course, we have to be fiscally prudent, to be smart about how we invest our taxpayers' dollars. That's why I'm directing my budget office to set up the Impact Center, to ensure that our government is run effectively and efficiently, because people should know that their taxpayer dollars are being well spent.
What's the argument there? I mean, if Democrats are going to vote against this, and the bill was just filed, so it's not been up for a vote or anything yet. It was introduced yesterday in the General Assembly, Senate Bill 474. The primary sponsors on it are Senator Phil Berger, Senator Tim Moffitt, and Steve Jarvis. Those are the three senators co-sponsoring that legislation. Hasn't been voted on yet. But Governor Josh Stein essentially just said what the DAVE Act is proposing. We want to make sure that our taxpayer dollars are being used in an efficient manner. We want to make sure our government is operating in an effective manner. We all want that. And unfortunately, in North Carolina, we've seen a lot of the inefficiencies of government, whether it's NCOR, the North Carolina Office of Recovery and Resiliency, which has pissed away hundreds of millions of dollars trying to provide hurricane relief to eastern North Carolina, or the North Carolina Division of Motor Vehicles, DMV, in the six-month wait list to get a freaking appointment to get a driver's license, or having to drive 3 hours to get to a DMV to get a new license. Those are the inefficiencies that I'm talking about. Right, so you've got agencies and you've got departments that aren't even capable of doing their job. And then the ones that are, how much bloat exists there? How many redundant positions exist? I would suspect a lot. So this has been introduced in the Senate as of yesterday. It's been filed. It will go through some level of committee. Not sure exactly what its path is as of right yet, but it will likely go through a committee or two in the Senate, make its way to the full Senate floor for a vote, and then on to the House. And what's going to be really interesting about this legislation, which I hope goes forward, is it will put Josh Stein in a very interesting situation. You just heard the words right out of his mouth. Taxpayers should know that the government is working in an efficient and effective manner. He said so, not me. He did. Will he sign a piece of legislation like this? This is going to be, we've talked about the a honeymoon period that is currently existing between the governor and the Republican-led General Assembly. And I've mentioned that there will be cracks that will form. This will happen over time. Is this legislation going to be that? I'm not sure. We haven't seen any comments on the from the governor yet. This was filed again yesterday afternoon, so it's relatively new. But it's going to be interesting to see if the governor comments on this, or what does he do when this legislation makes its way to his desk. Because it, again, sets a deadline by the end of this year that these state agencies have already provided their information to the auditor's office. Let me pull the legislation up and I'll get the exact date for you. It requires that by October the 1st of this year, every state agency provide the following to the auditor's office: an explanation of how the agency, including each division or office within that agency, utilizes public monies to execute its powers and duties under law, as well as a description of all positions within the agency that have remained vacant for 6 months or more as an effective date of this act. The description shall include the original position, vacancy dates, and the dates of any postings or reportings of the position, and an explanation for the length of the vacancies. That needs to be provided by October the 1st at the latest. And then it instructs that no later than December the 31st of 2025, the division, which is what we're talking about, should report the results of its assessment to the North Carolina General Assembly. And that report should include any state agencies or any divisions or offices within a state agency that should be dissolved based on the division's assessment, plus any state agency positions that should be eliminated based on their assessment as well. This is a massive piece of legislation. This could have a profound impact on government across North Carolina. Props to the senators for introducing it, and hopefully this has a speedy run through the North Carolina Senate, because you know, these deadlines, yes, I know we're talking about October and December, but these deadlines will be here sooner rather than later. So hopefully this thing can get a jump start in the GA and start moving forward. And then, of course, we'll see what Governor Josh Stein, and maybe even before that, we'll see what House and Senate Democrats do with this legislation. So we'll keep a very close eye on it right here on the Nick Craig Show. Well, that's going to do it for a Tuesday edition. Once again, a shout out to the capitalist system and Elon Musk and his Starlink service for allowing us to be live this morning. Appreciate you joining us on Rumble and X, and 24/7 if you are listening via podcast. We're back with you tomorrow morning right here on the Nick Craig Show.